This week in Your Parents' Basement, we are essentially functioning as gods. Or urban planners, if you're more modest, as we play 1989's SimCity by Maxis, which is developed by Will Wright. I'm Steve Greenwell, and with me is the regular co-host that isn't a filthy, disgusting quitter. It's Huell Hauser.
I've always wanted to leave my mark on the world. Now I've left my face.
And today, we're joined by a special guest. He is the music editor at theyoungfolks.com and a reporter in Rhode Island. It's Ryan Gibbs.
I don't have anything funny prepared. Hi. Hello.
Don't worry. We don't really either. So
no, we never do.
We just have things prepared. So you can reach us by email at parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. If you like the show, be sure to subscribe to it on iTunes and give us some stars. Also, please support the show by using our Amazon click-through link at www.ypbpodcast.com. We need the cash in order to buy more games about robots, even if we do have a brisket-sized hole in our hearts. Today's game is SimCity from 1989. According to the lore of Maxis and Will Wright, SimCity was sort of created by accident. 1984's Raid on Bungling Bay was the first game created by Wright, and while he was doing it, he noticed that he was having way more fun with the city and map-building development tools than he was with the game itself. In that game, if you weren't quick enough in your raids, your bombing raids, the enemies would just create, like, these massive factories and more sophisticated weaponry and basically overwhelm you. And Wright kind of found that more interesting. From there, he had the idea of just basically making a city simulation game, a SimCity, if you will. SimCity was actually first created in a playable form named Micropolis in 1985 for the Commodore 64, but Wright had trouble finding a company that believed in the concept. He was finally able to sell it to Maxis and finish it in 1988, with Broderbund executives playing it and agreeing to publish it in 1989 after they found out how addictive it was. Now, SimCity has basically been ported to more than a dozen different formats, ranging from, the old PC, Mac, that kind of stuff. The Commodore has a version, I think, all the way through Super Nintendo. There was an aborted NES version, up to the DS has a version of SimCity on it. Today, we're focusing on the original PC version and the Super Nintendo version. I actually grew up playing the SNES, which had special gifts that made the game a tiny bit easier, and the game was a bit more colorful on that system as well. So then, Gibbs, you nominated this game for coverage a bit while ago, and just getting around to you. So why don't you start off the discussion for us?
Specifically, I think I asked to do this game, I think, the week that you launched this podcast.
Oh, really?
Oh my. Oh.
Well, I'll let... It only took us a year and a month to get to you.
Yep. I also grew up playing the Super Nintendo version, which is notable because it's been the only time that the game has ever been ported to a console, and it didn't suck. There's a version for the PlayStation 1 of SimCity 2000, and it's just awful to play. There's a version for the version of the DS you mentioned is terrible. And other than... It's just no fun on any console but Super Nintendo, because it's a very keyboardy game.
Yes.
And I feel that the Super Nintendo, like, actually got to convert the very keyboardy nature of the PC SimCity experience into, like, a couple buttons and a directional pad. I grew up... It was one of the very first games I ever played was the SNES version of SimCity, so I'm going way back to 1990. I have, like, really vivid memories of playing this game, and, like, it was one of the few games you could play that, like, you could... It really didn't have any rules, and you didn't have to... set a major objective or get to the next level or whatever. You just designed a city. And, I mean, for a kid that grew up playing with Legos, that was an immediate attraction to me.
Yeah, this was kind of the original Minecraft. that all those kids are obsessed with nowadays on their hip hoppins.
Yeah, hope those kids are listening, because this is where those Minecrafts came from.
Yeah, there's. And
I also did eventually get the PC version. The PC version of this game that I played was called, I think, SimCity Enhanced Edition. It was a disc game for DOS. That's going back a while for me. I played that. It had a little bit more functionality than the original floppy drive version. It had like these really terrible full motion video movies in it for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
And the game was fairly fun, but it's not as stuck in my head as the Super Nintendo version or the sequels to the game. I vividly remember playing the Super Nintendo version. I kind of remember playing the PC version, and I definitely remember playing all of the sequels.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure why, but my parents did have this game on PC, and I just remember that the PC edition is, like, the original one is obviously a bit older, and I think it's meant to be played on EGA, which is 16 colors, or VGA, which is 256, and it just looks a little more drabber, like the colors don't pop as much. The mechanics, I believe, are mostly the same, but the Super Nintendo edition has GIFs, which are basically special units that make the game a little bit more easier. And it also has a unique disaster, which is that Bowser, King Koopa, can come and destroy your city. And the game does come with scenarios, which are like the closest thing it has to, like, you know, an actual purpose as opposed to just build a city, which is... the scenarios are like, oh, rebuild Rio de Janeiro after a flood, or rebuild Chicago after the great fire of 1918 or whenever it was. And the Super Nintendo one has, I think, two special scenarios. Like, one is in Vegas and one is Freeland, which is just, it's the whole stage is just land. It's not, you have no water, so theoretically you can build up everything.
Except for, like, the marina, I think, is in the Super Nintendo version.
Oh, the marina?
Yeah.
The seaport?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I'm calling it the marina because I'm remembering SimCity 2000. That's what the seaport's called in SimCity 2000.
Oh, yeah. SimCity 2000 kind of has a much more specialization, whereas SimCity obviously simplifies things since you only have residential, commercial, industrial, and then, you know, five or six other things that you can build.
Yeah.
Huel, how do you like this? Is this your first time playing the old SimCities?
This is definitely the first time playing the first one. I think I dabbled as a kid in maybe like SimCity 2000 or whatever one of the later ones are, where it's actually 3D and it's more detailed.
Mm-hmm.
But I never knew there was a Super Nintendo one before we started covering it. Like, that just seems insane to me that it would actually come out on such a early console. But I do realize how simplified it kind of is, where you're not building individual buildings. You're building areas where buildings start building themselves as you get more populated.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more of a macro level management. More than like a lot of other sim games where you're kind of fine tuning every single
mm-hmm.
aspect.
Oh, definitely.
And that makes sense for an early version as well as the limitations of a Super Nintendo.
How'd you like the music in the game? Because the music in the Sims in the Super Nintendo SimCity is gorgeous.
It honestly didn't stand out as amazing to me. I mean, it was fine. It wasn't terrible.
I thought the music was good, but you can also tell that this, in the grand scheme of things, is an early Super Nintendo game. I think I just looked up; it's 1991. So I don't know. Some of the other games we've played have had better music, but this is, you know, there are some nice little tunes in here. I guess to me, you know, the music, even though it is nice, it does get kind of repetitive, like just
you can be in it for a while, so I could see that.
Mm-hmm.
Games where you can play it for like 2 hours and get completely lost in it.
Yes. Or longer. I mean, this is probably one of the first kinds of those types of games, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, speaking for myself, I always liked SimCity, but it never got its hooks into me like Civilization. Like Civ another game we've mentioned many times, FTL, Faster Than Light. Like, those games I honestly can't put down. Like, it's to the point where I won't even start a game unless I know I have 5 or 6 hours free.
Yeah.
Because I just know.
I'm sure if a certain dirty trader wasn't here, he'd bring up Crusader Kings also.
I got on PC at the same exact time. I got that enhanced edition of SimCity, and I got the original Civilization. I maybe played Civilization a little bit, and I didn't come back to it until maybe a couple years later, and I just really get. Whereas I played SimCity just all the time, and I'm still not that big of a Civ fan. I have up to, I think, 4 on Steam, and they just sit untouched on my thing.
Oh well, that's a shame. You need to reinvestigate that now that you are a grown, mature man. Because I will say I feel like I liked SimCity more as a kid. And I don't know, I think I first played Civ when I was like 14 or 15, I want to say. Where SimCity I got when I was like 10 or 11. So I don't know, I will say I replaying this game now, I did way better than I ever did as a kid, which is like probably the only game we've reviewed where I can say that. Just because I...
Yeah, that's probably true.
I realized how the game mechanics actually worked. And thankfully, online, there are some people who have gone into like the programming and experimented with the Super Nintendo version, at least, to kind of see how different elements interact and that kind of thing. And amazingly, apparently, crime doesn't really matter. Like, people will still move to your town even if the crime rate is, like, all red everywhere. Whereas other factors like pollution and land value are much more important than crime. So
really?
Huh. And in turn, that's probably why I kind of like the sequels a lot better than the original SimCity, because, you know, the original SimCity is, like, important historically. It's a good game, but I feel like SimCity 2000, 3000, and SimCity 4 vastly improve on what made those games, what made the first game great. It's one of the very few game series that I have played where every succeeding installment has been better than the last one, with probably the exception of 3.
Oh, like SimCity 3000 versus SimCity 2000?
Yeah. I love SimCity 2000 and SimCity 4. I think SimCity 3000 and SimCity are very good games. But 2 and 4 basically improved on everything that's in the original SimCity. Mm-hmm. Well, obviously, they're newer games.
Yeah. I don't know. I will say I played SimCity 2000 a little bit, and I played it when I was like 14 or 15, and I was a little psyched. I was like, oh, I really liked SimCity. I'm going to like this game. And I just found it to be a little too complex for little adolescent Steve at that point.
Oh, your poor baby brain.
Was it the water?
Yeah, that's the thing. I could not tell if I was actually using water correctly, which just sounds stupid, but like... Because the message would keep going up, oh, you need more water at your properties. And I was like, do I have to put, like, a thing of water on, like, every single piece of property here? And I don't know. I had other stuff to play, and I was like, eh, this is just okay.
It does feel a little bit like work. And you kind of have to know... like how everything works, and it's its own little world. And I guess once you get the hang of it, then it is pretty fun. Mm-hmm. That's maybe why I like this one more, because it was so much simpler and there's only like 12 options of things to build.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like, okay, I can wrap my head around this.
Yeah, I feel like the original SimCity and then the games Maxis made afterwards that were specifically marketed to children, like SimTown, SimPark, and SimSafari, they feel a little less like work than 2000 and especially SimEarth, which shipped basically SimEarth. The most major thing about that was that it basically shipped with a science textbook as a manual.
Yeah,
right.
Like a 500-page thing that, like, okay, you have to read this entire thing just to play this game you bought for $20.
No, I also played when emulation was first a thing. I fired up that old SimEarth, and I for Super Nintendo, and I could not get anywhere on that. Like I was just completely overwhelmed. I couldn't do anything. And by this point, I was like, you know, I think it was like 18, 19, 20, that time range, and it was just unintuitive, and I didn't know what the hell I was doing. I have played SimAnt for Super Nintendo, and that game was kind of fun, although it's kind of aimless. Like, you're just an ant, and you're trying to, you know, get your colony up. So it was.
Now, when I bought every single one of these games except for every single one of them except for SimAnt and SimFarm. So I know how all these games work, and some were really good. SimSafari is surprisingly a really good game. But there are others like SimIsle that are not good at all. And you think, oh, hey, yeah, a simulation on an island, that'll be really cool, and it's not.
Mm-hmm. I might have played that. I think I had that.
Yeah.
It was in some, like, package of 10 games that comes with, like, a computer. You know, like back in, like, in the mid to late 90s, like, you would buy, like, a Hewlett Packard, and it would come with, like, 10 games on CD.
Yep.
I think it was in there. Mm-hmm. That's one of those.
Yeah.
SimIsle.
The point that I'm getting at with this, like, with all these sequels, is that, obviously, SimCity made Maxis so much money that they were able to put out, like, a Sim game on every possible ecosystem they could possibly think of.
Exactly.
Yeah. I have played my high school for some reason, or maybe it was my middle school. It had Sim Farm, which again was kind of more Sim Earth than Sim Ant. Like, Sim Farm was just, oh yeah, you're on a farm and that's it. Like, it doesn't really hold your hand through the process, like telling you, it doesn't really do a good job of telling you how to actually grow your crops and that kind of stuff. In while I was doing prep for the show, I did look up the Wikipedia entry for Sim Farm. It actually sounded kind of cool. It sounded like you could, you know, you could plant and grow different things, and then you could use your proceeds to, like, you know, improve the airport in town, which would allow you to do more aerial crop dusting. And it sounded like it was a deeper game than I realized as a kid. But I just remember being unintuitive when, like, how to actually do stuff when I was playing it as a kid.
Is it basically Farmville? Hit classic Farmville?
I think it's along those lines. I mean, it definitely was no Harvest Moon, which I found tedious, but a lot of other people, you know, really like that game. Or I think the hot new indie joint is something called Stardew Valley. Which has a heavy emphasis on farming and dungeon exploring, apparently.
Mm.
Yeah,
I feel like T brought that up.
Yeah.
And the game I'm probably going to compare this to, the modern game I'm going to compare SimCity to, is City Skylines, which is what SimCity 2013 should have been, which has a really interesting, like, farming system and everything, and is a much better extension of this 1989 game updated for, you know, 2015 computers than the utter disaster that was 2013 SimCity.
Yeah. No, I've heard good things about City Skylines. It's just there's, as I've mentioned before on the show, just so many games to play nowadays. Just so many.
Like, I am not a really huge fan of Let's Plays, but I love watching people Let's Play City Skylines and SimCity and Roller Coaster Tycoon. There's a creative aspect to watching somebody play a game like this. There isn't in, say, you know, Legend of Zelda or whatever the new shooter thingy is, or
yeah.
insert new game that I'm totally well behind on here.
Fallout 4.
Original Fallout. I don't even go that far.
Well, the original Fallout, you know, was good for its time, according to some. But I think we're on the record as saying we're too far removed. We can't go back to.
Oh yeah.
I mean,
Fallout 2.
My jam are these construction simulation games, so I wouldn't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I did want to ask, yeah, what are some of your other, in general, both of you guys, other like simulation games? Because I bought. Maybe like 2 years ago, there was this game called Democracy, and I bought Democracy 3, which is like you're running a government, but it's like one of the most basic interfaces I've ever seen. Like, it's not even really graphical. It's just like you're controlling like
tech
policies
box.
And, well, it is still graphical, but it's not like art.
Is it like you're controlling everything through menus and text boxes, kind of?
No, it's all like, it's actually pretty intuitive. It's all circles, and each circle is like a policy or like a tax or something, and they're all kind of interconnected through lines, and it's a little weird looking at first. People adjust like smaller or bigger, and then you get like the feedback from the people or like your cabinet about like what is working and what isn't, and then from there you can set other policies and add circles, remove circles, adjust them, and it's actually pretty neat. And that was one of the simulation games I played that I actually liked.
One of my all-time favorite games, and one that I also pitched to Steve, but he isn't really familiar with, is the Roller Coaster Tycoon series.
Aha!
That's my favorite game franchise of all time. I love all three of those games. Notice that I'm saying all three of those games.
I did.
Not the new. I'm referring to obviously the new Roller Coaster Tycoon game, which they're selling on Steam for $50 and is completely broken.
Oh, is there a 4? Is that what that is?
Unfortunately, a 4. Yeah. But the first three games are the extension. They're really intuitive. They still play like a dime on newer computers in their almost 15-year-old games. I mean, they had everything that I liked about SimCity, the fact that you're building and managing something, but at a micro level with something cool like a theme park.
Yeah, right. I was just going to say, I think I've played the predecessor of those games, which is a little game called Theme Park, which... also came out for the old Super Nintendo. I guess my hang up with a lot of the Roller Coaster Tycoon kind of games is that I do not get enjoyment out of like crafting like roller coaster tracks. Like I just part of the reason I like SimCity is that like, oh, if you want to plop down a residential zone, you just do it. And the same thing with like the stadium. Like I don't have to like sit there and be like, well, I'm going to put 5,000 seats in this stadium, and it's going to have so many bathrooms, and
yeah.
Like, I want it to have a blue top. Like I'm very much, I guess I'm much more of a fan of streamlined kind of simulation games. It's also, I've mentioned this game series before, I'm a big fan of Baseball Mogul, which is a text-based simulation baseball game. But I'm not so into Out of the Park, which is Baseball Mogul, except you're managing like down to the single A level. So you're managing.
Yeah, it's much more micro. You can adjust so many things.
Yeah, yeah. You're managing like down to 5 levels, and you know, you can let the computer manage some aspects for it, but it's the computer, so it doesn't know what the hell it's doing or what you want it. Like, it doesn't know the philosophy of your team, so...
Yeah.
I love the baseball. I have not played the Baseball Mogul series in, like, oh, man, like, 10 years, but I like those games that I've played.
Well, now...
Yeah, I tried a hockey one once, and it was just way too much stuff. It was like what you were talking about with Sim Earth. It's like I'd have to learn so many different items and what each adjustable thing does, and it was just like, ah, yeah. this is work.
But, yeah, like, the problem is a lot of these simulation games almost have like their own sort of language, and you have to kind of experiment and figure out, oh, what actually affects things and what's kind of just there for show. Like, sometimes it correlates with reality and sometimes it doesn't. Like, I mean, like in SimCity, obviously, like, there's no point to ever use roads. Like, the roads cost less. They're $10 versus $20 for rails, but roads pollute, and they also people get really upset about the traffic. So there's pretty much zero upside to using roads versus railways. Whereas, you know, it obviously doesn't correlate with real life. Where
there's like no downside to railroads.
Nope, absolutely not.
Besides, you need to connect them all together, I guess. But
whereas interestingly, in some of the later SimCity games, rails just get in the way of everything. They're useful, but they get in the way because you're like designing, like you're managing everything. You're designing how your city actually looks aesthetically, as opposed to how, like, well, I'm blanking on the word, but in the original SimCity, you're just putting down what works where it works instead of, like, you know, trying to design it aesthetically and try to make it look pleasing and interesting. And,
yeah.
Like, imagine how nice the road interchange works and what that exit looks like and whether or not you want to put the stadium next to all these houses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also I will say Game Facts, their message board, is where I found kind of the inner mechanics FAQ I was talking about. Apparently, stadiums, seaports, and airports basically have little to no effect on the zones surrounding them. So basically, like, they recommend that you just put down enough that you can get the gifts, like the zoos, the casinos, that kind of stuff. And then you can just bulldoze them. Because, because there's not really so much point to them. I will say, though, I did not top out my city before tonight's show. Like, I still had, I think I still had 23% of the land available. But my little city, which was called Todton, was 350,000 people. So I was like, oh,
you're getting there.
Yeah, I was like, I have a shot at the 500,000. Like, I'm doing way better as a kid than I did as a kid, where normally, like, growing up, I topped out around 100,000. So, I was like, I'm learning, I'm growing as a person, clearly.
Yeah, as was said earlier, that's really the only real goal of this, of SimCity, is to just get an increased population up to what, 500,000, I guess.
Well, at 500,000 in the Super Nintendo game, you get the Mario statue.
Of course.
Yep. It is the Super Nintendo game. It's surprising they didn't call it a Super SimCity, now that I think about it.
Super City.
Yeah, and you also get the I think it's called a Megapolis, something like that. Like, that distinction is 500,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's theoretical work on like what is the maximum population, and I think it's something like 800,000. So
it's theoretical. No one's reached it.
I think you have to manage things perfectly. Sorry, I'm trying to Google as I say this, but it also requires like the it requires you to do things like crash airplanes into your buildings.
Huh, that sounds familiar. Can't quite put my finger on it.
Well, apparently, stuff like the stadium and the power plants, they work as long as there is one square of them on the map. So the idea is that you either start fires or you destroy factories, like your power plants, so that only one square of them remains, and then you can build a couple more zones. Plus, obviously, there are many, many different maps available in this game. So there are, like, you know, there's advantages. Like, water maps have higher land value, which promote growth, but, you know, obviously it cuts down on how much you can build, that kind of thing. So.
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
So I'm looking for the number as we speak. I'm not sure how long did you guys play in build up?
I played the practice city a bunch at first, and then took my chances going for one of the maps. Mm-hmm. And I think I got like the 100,000 ish range, which I guess isn't that many, but
mm-hmm. No, that's pretty good.
They started not liking me, the people, and I'm not sure why. Like, I was trying to get that balance of mm-hmm. like the meters, like not getting them, letting them get too high up or too high down, and maybe I built a little too quickly to try to balance that out. And maybe if I waited a few more months in game time, mm-hmm. I would have realized like what I actually needed to build instead of going off the meter too early, I think. And then my budget went way down because I was building too fast, I think.
Yeah, I played a little bit on the Internet Archive streaming version of SimCity.
Mm.
And I mean, as much as I adore the original SimCity, the entire time I was playing it, I'm thinking, you know, I would have so much more fun if I was playing SimCity 2000. Because, I mean, for some bizarre reason, I get, like, I actually have fun, you know, placing down, you know, water pipes and terraforming land and, you know, putting down a dam and libraries and all this stuff instead of just plunking down a square that just has an R on it and that's all your house is. But, I mean, I got...
Yeah, it does feel like there's obviously, but there's just less to do. So you're kind of just killing time until you can build more squares.
Yeah.
By the way, it looks like the record is about, it's over 800,000.
Okay.
Which is that's just a ridiculous amount of, I don't know. I might keep going with the game I have right now just because I've never legit done 500,000 in a city. And I'm pretty close. I feel like I can get there. I will say this is also, when I was a kid, this game has one of the best cheats, one of the best Easter eggs in it, which is that it's pretty easy to get 999999999 for money.
How's that?
Gibbs, did you ever use that trick when you were a kid?
No, because I had a, like, my dad just hated cheat websites, and he used to block them on his computer. And when we only had one computer with the internet, and he would make sure that I could not get onto any website that he deemed a cheat website. So I am completely
that's amazing.
Of any cheat website that really exists from the 90s. That's not something that I grew up with.
The most integrity of any person.
Wow. Yeah, why? We should have your dad on this show. The cheat code for... it's commonly called unlimited money, even though it's not really. It does run out. Although it's very tough to actually spend all that money. Is that basically if you hold the L button as you're going into like the end of year tax report, that kind of thing, you have to turn your funding for all the various things down to zero, and then at the end of the year when that screen pops up, you have to turn them back up to 100, and you have to basically negative your money. So if you have $500 left in the bank, you want to spend like $1,000 in funding your fire, your police, that kind of stuff. And then when the game goes back, it basically doesn't allow you to have negative money, so suddenly you have like $980,000, that kind of thing. So that's the easiest way to get money in this thing. And it's basically, I use that...
It's not a specific cheat, it's just like a glitch.
Yeah, it's a bit of a glitch.
Okay.
So that's how I always played as a kid. So this...
The opposite of Ryan.
Yeah. So for this, I actually have been doing it legit. And there is, like, you do have to watch out for certain things. Like, what really tripped me up as I was playing is the fact that at various points the game makes you put down bigger purchases. Like, your residents start demanding a stadium at around 30,000 people, and the stadium costs $3,000. And then I think it's a seaport at around 50,000, and the seaport costs $5,000. And the big one is the airport at 10,000. And for that, I just had to take out a loan from that damn Sim Bank to pay for the airport. Yep. But once you put down those three things, the only big purchases after that is you have to buy power plants pretty regularly. I think I always use nuclear power because it doesn't pollute. In I think the nuclear power is between 100 and 125 units, or zones. So I'm up to four of those bad boys.
The other interesting thing is in this era of, you know, retro games being available to purchase on Steam and GOG, you can't buy the original SimCity anywhere. You can buy 2000 on GOG, you can buy SimCity 4 on Steam, but you can't really buy this game anywhere, which is kind of...
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
I mean, I realize it's kind of available online in various forms.
Get it on the Internet Archive, and that's as legal as you can get. And I do consider that to be a legal way to get the game, but you can't actually physically purchase it.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like Maxis, which Maxis is now owned by Electronic Arts.
EA bought Maxis in 1997.
Okay, so...
Right at the height
just
of
bought him.
Mania, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I... You know, it doesn't seem like they're that interested in pursuing, you know, the copyright on the original one. We've kind of danced around some of the other games in the series. Let me just go into the history here a little bit.
Oh my god.
The original was a huge hit. It's gotten multiple sequels. The first significant one was SimCity 2000, which added things, like I mentioned, like the water grid. There are also many more zone types. You can do, like, light industrial, high industrial, light residential, high residential, that kind of thing. There are tons of spin-off games, Sim Farm, Sim Ant, Sim Town, a dozen others. There's a little game called The Sims, which goes from the kind of macro levels of city building to the micro level of individual homes. The latest proper SimCity game was called SimCity, confusingly. It came out in 2013, and whatever the merits of the game, they were overshadowed by the fact that EA initially required the game to be connected online to start up. This was not well received.
Which is insane, because the SimCity series is a single-player game. It is not to be a collaborative online thing. It is a single-player game. They want it to be always online, which is just mind-boggling.
Well, that was more for... what's it called? Licensing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and the other issue, though, beyond that, well, fine, if it has to be online, it has to be online. But I believe EA's servers also crashed continually the first week, and people couldn't even play. I think a similar thing happened with Diablo 3 and Blizzard, I believe.
Yep. I remember that one, too. That's one of the other game series that I grew up with that has disappointed me in recent years. Mm-hmm.
No, I will say I haven't played Diablo 3 yet. It's one of those games that's been consistently on my list. Like, oh yeah, I should check that out. I'd like the first two Diablos.
It's great the first time you play it, mm-hmm. and then it isn't ever again.
Whereas
the first Diablo games were games that you played for a decade.
I kind of like. To me, those games do have a limited shelf life. Like, I've also played Torchlight. And it's just like, oh, it's fun to beat once, and then I'm like, what am I doing? All I'm doing is collecting gold and equipment, and, like, all I'm doing is clicking the screen.
But with the spin-off SimCity games, I've played a variety of them. A lot of them were aimed at little kids. There was Sim Safari, where you built your own like nature preserve thing and you dropped all the animals in. There was Sim Park, where you built like a national park type thing with like kiosks and stuff, and then different forest creatures. And Sim Town, which was like Sim City, but on a again on a very micro level, where you like physically place like pizza parlors and different kinds of houses. It basically held your hand the entire way. Yeah, like all of them work effectively. They're totally fine games. They're just made for, you know, kids under 10, which is a market.
For literal sweet baby boys, they're made for.
They're probably more my speed, to be honest with you.
They were the games that, like, I remember playing a lot because I couldn't really afford to buy, you know, them a game for $3, but the local library always had those games.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember just checking out, you know, Sim Park all the time, or Sim Safari all the time, just because my local library had them.
Interesting. Yeah. I did play a buttload of The Sims. I played that more than any of the other Sim games.
I actually don't like The Sims very much at all.
Yeah, because it's probably simple and easy, so it seems like you like the more complicated games. And I'm just like, wow, this is cool. I can put a chair here. I don't have to worry about the power grid.
The reason why I hate this has nothing to do with the game at all. It has to be.
Yeah.
I bought it. I bought it for full price when it came out, and I put it in my computer, and it crashed my computer.
Oh.
Every time I played it, it crashed my computer.
The almighty power of The Sims.
So you swore it off.
Almighty power of having a computer that ran Windows ME.
Times. I don't know. I kind of got into The Sims like a year or two after it was popular. A girl I was dating at the time, like that was the only video game she played. So I was like, all right, I guess I'll check it out. I don't know. It was okay, but again, it's like a bunch of the stuff I don't really care for, like putting chairs down. so I was like, eh.
You can make burgers.
Mm-hmm. I think I was playing as an athlete, and I would get my athlete money at the start of each week or something, and it's like, oh, with this money you can buy a better workout bench, which helps you progress more in your athlete career, which helps you get more money to buy an even nicer workout bench. and I was like, oh, this is a little too much like real life for me.
That is sort of a problem, yes.
So I don't know. I could see why it was really addictive for some people, but I knew I think I played it for, you know, 5 or 6 hours, like across a couple of days, and I was like, yeah, I can see why people like this, but it isn't really for me. It's not as the dearly departed Todd Brisket would say, it's not a deep, deep story-driven game. It's more...
Well, you could sort of make it one. Because I, in Sims 3, I played as a person with no house. And I made money through fishing. Because you could fish in local streams and ponds and stuff. So I would fish, sell the fish to the markets, and buy, like, apples. So I would keep it in my pockets.
Mm-hmm.
And I would shower at the local gym. So you can have fun with it.
One of the things I do like to do with The Sims is that I sometimes like to look up which artists I like have embarrassed themselves by doing a Simlish version of their songs.
Oh, God, yeah.
And I looked it up, and I guess the alternative country band Murder by Death did a song of theirs in Simlish, and it just makes me incredibly sad to hear that guy's voice. Like, gibberish is kind of, you know, husky, you know, like, you know, southern gothic voice just singing complete gibberish. It's like, oh, no. I even think, like, the Pet Shop Boys did a song in Simlish, and that I will not go for that, because that will just make
that me sounds crazy.
That sounds sad.
Well, guess they needed some bucks.
Oh, no, it wasn't the Pet Shop Boys. It's even worse. It was Depeche Mode.
Oh boy,
Depeche Shop Boys.
Yeah.
it's just really sad just looking up, you know, which bands, because I'm a music guy, and it's, you know, really weird that these bands that I don't think need the money to do their songs in Simlish have done them in Simlish. Carly Rae Jepsen did a Simlish version of one of her absolutely perfect songs on Emotion in Simlish, and I don't like bring myself to listen to a Simlish version of Runaway with Me at all.
Is The Sims still a thing? Are they are they still pumping games out?
Yep.
Sims 4 came out like 2 years ago.
Enough for a song from last year, like Runaway with Me, to be recorded in Simlish. Yes.
Oh, maybe 1 year ago. Yeah, maybe it was last year. I did not get that one though. Sims 3 is the only one I got recently, and the expansion or two. shut up! Shut up!
Check. Mentioned Carly Rae Jepsen in a video game podcast off my list of things to do.
Wow, well,
I think that's the first time she's come up on this show, so congratulations.
Yeah. I found out the other day that Carly Rae Jepsen is older than Florence from Florence and the Machine, which I don't know why, but that blew my mind. Florence from Florence and the Machine, that the lead lady Florence is like 28, whereas I thought she was close to 40. Which I suppose is not a great reflection on either myself or her.
They sound like a band that's been around for like 20 years.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I thought that. So
it's come to the point with The Sims, which has just diverged so far from whatever Will Wright did with the original Sims, that now it's just a kind of a social game where, you know, singers sing their perfect pop songs in gibberish language.
I will say Will Wright is kind of like he is definitely a genius, because he's the main guy behind SimCity, The Sims, Spore, which we haven't mentioned, but I quite enjoyed Spore, even though it's not really a great game. It kind of tries to do too many things, but I still get a kick out of that game. Did either of you guys ever play Spore?
No, we've talked about it before. I had no interest.
Mm-hmm. I remember hearing about Spore. The most interesting thing that he's done, aside from the SimCity games, isn't Spore for me. It's that he designed a BattleBot with his daughter, if you remember the show BattleBot.
Oh, we know BattleBots.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, he designed this BattleBot called, I think it was called Kitty Puff Puff, and it had, it did this maneuver called cocooning that is banned in the sport of BattleBots now because it was so, like, weird, and it basically just ruined the entire fun of the entire sport. That the creator of SimCity would do with BattleBots.
Mm-hmm. Will Wright in BattleBots.
Is that the one that would just flip over the other robot and would win?
No, you're describing, like, 20 different BattleBots.
Oh, I thought they banned flipping the other robot because...
That's half of the designs in BattleBots is another BattleBot.
Well, that sounds boring.
I'm not going to lie. BattleBots to me was kind of boring, but...
It is.
No, we know of BattleBots because one of our favorite podcasting personalities is Dave Damashek, and... Like, one of his first jobs out in Hollywood was writing for BattleBots.
Right.
Like, they had writers for that show. And on a podcast he was on, his co-host would always bust his balls about, ask him stuff like, oh, what was your favorite BattleBot to write for? Was it the Crux Bear? Was it Killzone?
Oh, so. I guess you learned that writing for BattleBots.
Yeah. Did you learn that on BattleBots or Baby Geniuses? Like, that was his... it's always funny, because the other guy made his fortune writing for According to Jim, which somehow ran for, like, 10 years. Anyways. I think we're kind of wrapping up here a little bit on SimCity. Ryan, did you have anything else you wanted to add about either SimCity or Will Wright or BattleBots?
We've gotten so off track that I've totally forgotten what game we were talking about. We're talking about Dungeon Keeper, right?
Yeah, Dungeon Keeper. It's good to kill heroes. That's the only thing I know about Dungeon Keeper.
Buy more games on GOG, please.
Mm.
Well, the thing... Let me just say this about GOG. Many of the games that are on that site are games I had access to as a child or teenager that didn't interest me for whatever reason.
But you can get your disappointment for $5.
Yeah, but there are so many cheap games now. The Humble Bundle, like each week it's offering me like 10 games for $7, and I have to like physically stop myself from ordering it, because on my Steam I already have I have about 40 to 50 games I have never even started.
Same here.
And it's like, I don't know, I have thought about doing like a cleanse where I just say, all right, I'm not going to buy any more games until I finish every other game I have, or at least try every other game I have.
Yeah, at least play it for like an hour.
Yeah.
Just start it and see what happens.
I mean, but whenever I think about doing that, it's always like, oh, well, Fallout 4 is coming out soon. Oh, well, this summer, Persona 5, I believe, is coming out.
Well, they've already pushed off the next Mass Effect to next year, so that bought you some time.
Oh, I saw that. I saw the news, and I was
so.
On one hand, I was disappointed, but on the other hand, I was like, oh, thank God.
You were relieved.
Yeah. Also, I want to thank you guys. A couple weeks ago, you guys featured my review of Atari Vault for Steam on your news roundup.
Oh yeah,
thank you. Yeah, I love getting positive reactions from the young folks. That doesn't involve angry throbs hating our reviews of comic book movies.
Oh well, we don't want to get into that now, because Huel, someone on the young folks did not have kind words for Captain America.
Well, there's a lot of simple-minded people out there.
Oh man.
Yes.
But yeah, that Atari game is pretty good if you're a big fan of old Atari games. The big problem with that game is that Battlezone is no longer in those collections because they sold it to another party during one of Atari's many bankruptcies. So,
what game? What game are you talking about?
Battlezone, the tank game. Atari went bankrupt. Again.
How did that come up?
Because in one of the news roundups, I linked to Gibbsy.
Oh, that's right. He said he is okay. His review. I'm sorry.
We got a sidetrack about Captain America.
The third sidetrack.
That's what happens with podcasts. People get sidetracked.
Yeah.
It's never happened here, so it was a new phenomenon, so it threw me off.
Yeah, at this point, Atari is basically a garbage company that works as a patent troll. They recently sued someone else because they tried to use the words like haunted castle or haunted mansion, and they said that, oh, we own the trademark on that because of this game that we made in 1971 or something like that. But spoiler a little bit, we will be playing some Atari games soon for your parents' tournament. With a contributor who's written in a couple times. So well, Huel, any last thoughts on SimCity for you?
No, just as a manual aficionado, I appreciated that this had an 84-page manual for a Super Nintendo game.
What? Really?
So I like that, yeah.
Not the longest manual in the series.
Oh, not in the series, but for Super Nintendo, it's got to be up there.
Oh my god, I didn't even realize that. I really have to start looking at manuals for episodes.
It has both an index and a glossary.
Oh my god. Is it, did you read it or just kind of skim it?
I did not read every single page, but there's a very handy, like, starter guide, which is, like, the first 30 pages of, like, what to actually, like, how to build and how to plan things, so.
Is it actually 84 pages, or
80, it's 84 Super Nintendo guide pages, yes.
And that's not, like, one part of it's in English, one part of it's in French, it's 84?
No.
Pages in English.
No, yes. Yeah, the multilingual manuals are something fairly recent. Like, it's for those weird companies that do lots of business in Canada or something.
I guess I should have sent this to you guys, but yeah. 84 pages.
Wow.
Jesus. All right, on that note, let's go on to some other pages that we have no doubt gotten, which is the email portion of the show. Huel, did you receive any emails this week?
Why, yes, I did.
Oh.
And I received an email from ScooterButt42.
Oh,
so,
old Scooty.
Yes, Scooty writes, "Dear YPB-1, wow, I can't believe what Todd did last episode. But in some ways, it shouldn't be that surprising, as I could tell he wasn't as loyal as Huel and that other guy. It seems you have an opening in the host slot, and I think I've just the person to fill it. It's someone who knows everything about the show, is loyal, and has a lot of fun things to say. Unfortunately, this person has no internet access and will have to have one of you guys pay for transportation to audition in person. Speaking of, what's your favorite mode of transport in a video game? Patiently waiting, ScooterButt42."
Well, I mean, to settle something right off the bat, I'm not picking that guy up from the bus station. So.
Well, he didn't name who it was, so.
Yeah,
I guess we'll have to respond later.
I mean, it would be dangerous for you to meet him, Huel, because I think ScooterButt to you is much like that 25-year-old man outside Taylor Swift's apartment. Like, it's just.
Well, I mean. He never said, he didn't say who it was. I mean, he just said he had someone in mind.
That's a good point.
So we'll have to see.
So
do you have a favorite mode of transport?
In
a Vigi game.
Gibbs, you can go first. Did you have any thoughts there?
A favorite what in what now?
a favorite mode of transportation in a video game.
Oh boy. I really don't think about that. Probably the bicycle from the Pokemon games.
Ah, yeah, that opens up a whole new world when you get that.
Does it? Is that in Pokemon Red?
Yeah.
Pokemon Red, yeah.
It lets you travel faster because it's a slog before you get the bike.
Oh, I'm mixing it up. In Earthbound, you can get a bike. And I think it works the similar way. You can go way faster. But of course, in Earthbound, the bike only works if you're by yourself, which you're only by yourself for like the first tenth of the game. So it's not really a useful item to have after like the first hour or two. I don't know. My favorite mode of transportation. I feel like picking a racing game would be kind of cheating.
Well.
Because, like, you know, I like Mario Kart, but it's like, well, you're in a kart. It's pretty much the game. It's not really a mode of transportation in the game.
You're being transported around the track.
Yeah, I guess. You know, just to give a different kind of answer, I always thought the cars in Rad Racer were pretty cool.
Huh.
Where you're, I think you can either have, like, kind of a Lamborghini thing, like an orange or yellow Lamborghini, or it's like a red kind of Porsche. And I always thought those cars looked kind of cool. Like when that part came on during The Wizard, I was always like, oh, this is cool. Even beyond the Power Glove part, this is kind of a neat looking game. So,
yeah.
And Rad Racer, inexplicably, made by Square, I believe. Before they got super into deep, deep story-driven games. So,
one of their few not RPGs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Square kind of back in the day did more weird non-RPGs. And some of them were actually decent games as compared to now where, like, they're... I don't even know what they're doing. Like, I got... The latest video game magazine I got in the mail had, like,
what?
a big... You know, the one that you get from GameStop. Game Informer, I think they send it to you for free.
What year is this?
I got my DeLorean and I went back to 2002 and got these video game magazines. They had a long feature on Final Fantasy 15, and I'm still going to buy...
And Half-Life 2?
No. On Final Fantasy 15, and I don't know, man. It's apparently a big part of the game is the fact that you have a car that you can drive around.
Well, that's a mode of transportation. So in a way,
yep. I was bringing it back.
Still answering the question.
Yeah, bringing it back around. That's what I was doing.
Oh shit!
But yeah, I was like, how weird is this that we now a big selling point of the Final Fantasy series to the creators is the fact that you can drive a car around. Not
groundbreaking.
Not even an airship, a frigging car.
They've done airships. Airships are old news.
I can drive a car. I own a car. Let me ride a behemoth. let me get that between my legs, Huel. You know what I'm saying?
All the time.
Huel, did you say what your favorite mode of transportation was?
No, and thank you for asking. Mine would probably be, I like a good horse in a video game. Whether it be Zelda or Red Dead Redemption, mm-hmm. I think it's unique enough and fun enough that it's always fun, I think. Mm-hmm. Red Dead Redemption especially. That's your buddy, that's your pal, that's your amigo riding around.
I mean, the one that sticks out for me with horses is Epona and Ocarina of Time, because I played the show.
Yeah.
I'm as a kid.
Zelda. It's probably my first experience with horse riding. of any kind.
From there, you become quite the equestrian.
Mm.
I remember getting that horse in that game before I stopped playing it. So.
Ugh, you were the worst.
The horse was kind of cool.
Wait, you've never finished Ocarina of Time?
No.
This is a point of contention.
I barely play video games, and I finished.
No, there. It's just the transition from Super Nintendo to N64 was not so kind to little Steve Greenwell. And by little, I mean at that point I was like 15. But I just did not care so much for like the Nintendo platformers. Like I did get all 120 stars in Super Mario 64. But even then, it was kind of a struggle. Whereas I played the hell out of Super Mario World, but I don't know. I just never really cared for that. And then Zelda to me was just like, oh, this is Mario with a sword. I don't know. I just couldn't get into it. And I played and beat in Link to the Past like probably a dozen times. So from there. I don't know. It's weird because, like, a lot of the other games on the system, I'm perfectly, you know, sign me up. I love Mario Kart 64, GoldenEye, like, even more obscure stuff like Ogre Battle 64. You know, those it's good stuff. Doom. But no, I just could never got into Zelda. And then from there, like that is the last game in the series I've tried to play, really.
Well, it's the last game in the series that I've played because my family stopped buying video game consoles for the Nintendo 64, and we became a computer family. So I don't remember the game. I own a GameCube that I bought from a yard sale, but I've never plugged it in.
Oh.
You and Todd, dirty, filthy computer people.
Well, I mean, I'm also a retro gamer, guys, so I mean, that's most of what I play. But yeah, 2000 on, I just went straight for PC games, because, I mean, I already had the system. I didn't need to buy a new one every 5 years, although technically I should have, but I just kind of got out of consoles after the Nintendo 64, so anything you mentioned for, like, the PlayStation 2 and Xbox just whoosh over my head.
Well, and I think it's also a defensible position, especially now, because anything that was good on an older system just gets... It comes out on Steam eventually now anyway, so.
Yeah, the only like PlayStation 2 game I fully played that I made sure to track down and I got an emulator just to play it was Katamari Damacy. That's it. Katamari Damacy and I think Shadow of the Colossus.
Oh.
I can get on board with the first one.
Yeah, Katamari, I think, is a game Huel and Brisket have both recommended to me in the past.
Yeah, that's a fun, unique, different game, and, you know, it seemed to be the only thing from that era that really jumped out to me as something that I had to play right away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Ryan, this would be weird, but did you get any emails about tonight's appearance, even though we did not publicize it at all?
No, and I don't have any emails that I can read here unless you really want to hear some promo emails from AS220 in Providence.
No, I definitely have no interest in that.
I mean, wouldn't you like to hear about the upcoming appearance by the rock band Slingshot Dakota?
No. We're having a poetry slam, and then we're going to have an indie band play, and then we're going to follow up with a rapper.
I'd like to note that I have in the past,
a rapping man.
I have in the past donated to AS220, and Stephen Greenwell's opinions on AS220 do not necessarily reflect my own.
I'm generally down on. I'm too old for that stuff now, man. Too old to go out, leave my house unless it's for a restaurant. So,
you're not that older than me.
I'm 32.
I'm 26.
My life is.
That's a huge difference.
Yeah,
not sarcastic.
All I want to do is go home and watch Netflix and
watch Netflix
and build up my SimCities.
Watch Netflix, play the new Radiohead album, all that stuff.
Listen. Let me lose some more street cred right here. Not into Radiohead. Never big fan.
That's fine. I'm not one of those crazy. Huh. Is over Radiohead.
No, but name any band and like there's a chance like my music taste is horrible. Like it's just
Starland Vocal Band.
Afternoon Delight. Yeah.
Wait, didn't you literally used to be the entertainment editor for a college newspaper?
Yeah, I used to.
I was the entertainment editor. But really like I didn't really have much taste. Like, yes, my staffers would be reviewing the latest from Modest Mouse, whereas I would be writing reviews on, like, Dirty Dancing 2, which I went to bombed with 4 or 5.
Savannah albums. Nights?
Yeah, Havana Nights.
I said Savannah. Close.
The tradition with Cigar Entertainment Editors is that you're either a music guy or you're a movie guy. I was a music guy. Were you a music guy or a movie guy?
I was neither. I guess I skew way more movies, but, like, you know, I'm more of a populist when it comes to my taste. Except also in my college newspaper, I also ran, like, a review of Final Fantasy VI. So, obviously, I was a cool and happening dude.
He's the allspice of editors.
And incidentally, when you were at the newspaper, you happened to work with my boss at the Jamestown Press.
Oh, yeah, Tim Real.
Yeah. If he's somehow listening to this, hi, Tim.
No, he tuned out like an hour ago. No, Tim isn't he was a sports guy, and he hell of a hard worker. We should get moving on to, because I received two emails.
Oh, no.
Hey guys, I'm so sorry I caused dissension last week. Huel and Steve, I still love you guys so much. I have a personal question since Brisket isn't there and you're studly, unmarried guys. What's your favorite toaster oven food to cook? Sincerely, Big Smo Cosmo.
Huh. There's so many to choose from.
It's like choosing a favorite child for you, Huel.
Yeah. Do egg rolls count? I like egg rolls.
Sure.
In the toaster.
Yeah.
But really, my main use for it is reheating pizza.
I am thinking along similar lines, which is my favorite toaster oven food is bagel bites.
Ah. Is that similar lines? I guess because they're pizza in the morning, yeah. Pizza in the evening.
I mean, to me, a bagel bite is as good as a fresh slice of pizza. Same thing.
Any New Yorker would take a bagel bite.
I mean,
over a piece of pizza.
Yeah, not really. I'm joking. I don't want angry pizza people to write in. But Gibbs, what about you? Do you have a favorite toaster oven food?
I have never owned a toaster oven in my life.
Oh, why is he here?
What? How have you not owned it? You need to get on that. Think of all the fine food.
You miss it, man.
Yeah. I have a regular oven. Why do I
so big?
Why do I need a second smaller oven when I have a...
Because it's faster. I need those bagel bites now.
When I have a bagel bites. I just buy in Rhode Island. Rhode Island is just run by calzone, so you can just get like a really nice nothing.
Yeah, I mean, I will say, yeah, I always forget that. The local calzone place to me, well, it's at URI, which is still only like 10, 15 minutes away. But, yeah, they're open till 2 or 3 making calzones every night.
And which was useful at the Cigar when, I don't know if this was similar with you, we would get out at like 2 in the morning.
Yeah, yeah.
So we would just head over to that calzone place, and I just need to carry it here. I didn't need no oven.
Yeah.
I'm just flooding back memories of, what is it now, a decade ago that you left?
Oh, don't remind me. Don't remind me. We need to move on. The second email that I received. Your parents' basement. So glad that you dumped that dead weight, Todd Brisket. Now that he's gone, Huel and Steve, who are your favorite sidekicks in video games? From Todd Brisket.
Oh. Must be a different Todd.
Either that or he's, you know, he's in a worse place than we thought. One of my favorite sidekicks, even though I don't care for the game a ton, I do like that Tails in Sonic 2.
It is the one that immediately jumps to mind. And I have a slight inkling we've had this question, but I don't know what I said before. So I'm going to go with Diddy Kong.
Oh, that is a good, solid choice.
Because he is the classic cartoon shirt with no pants character. And I always appreciate those.
That is an arbitrary criteria, but I agree with it.
Yeah.
That's, you know.
Donald Duck, Winnie the Pooh, all greats.
I agree. Gibbs, how about you? Who's your favorite sidekick from a video game?
I'll be honest, I've been just rapidly looking through my Steam catalog, frantically looking for... let me see.
I often do that when these video game when these questions come up. I glance at my shelf.
Dandy. Wait, was there a sidekick character in Freedom Force?
I don't even know what that is.
It was a real time strategy game with superheroes in it. Let me see what else I have.
Real ones or made up ones, like City of Heroes.
Like made up ones. Was there a sidekick in Super Hexagon? No.
Just making shit up. Listen, what about my favorite sidekick's the square block in Tetris.
Listen, for all these indie darling games, they need to cut corners and save costs so there are no sidekicks in them.
Yeah, that's most of what I have on here. I don't know. I think the boring practical one would be Tails, because, I mean...
So now I'm boring. How dare you? How dare you?
It's like not just now.
Vanilla ice cream of choices for this question.
Listen, it's better to get vanilla ice cream than no ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
That's what my grandpappy always said about ladies too. You know, when you're at the bar, it's better to get a 2.5 than a nothing.
Yeah, I'm just drawing a total blank on a question for best sidekick, so.
Nah, it's all right. It's been a long show. It's been an emotionally exhausting show, but we managed to get through it without Brisket. I will say some of my early anger has now. It's melancholy. I do miss him. I'm going through the stages of grief. So,
I'm still at a white hot rage.
Well, Gibbs, thanks so much for guesting on this week's show. Give a plug for the young folks. What's the website?
All right, so the young folks is a it's kind of like the AV Club. We review and do features on movies, music, television, video games. We're recording this on a Wednesday night, and we're going to be making the announcement on Monday that I am the music editor for the website
now.
Oh.
really interesting if that doesn't happen on Monday and we like delay it for like 2 weeks. But yeah.
We can cut this out.
Yeah. I can just imagine Steven like frantically like, hey, we're not doing the thing. He just like edits it out with a machete. Yeah. yeah.
He'll make two versions and decide which one to post.
But yeah.
Definitely won't do that. So you better tell me if you did a change in the job status.
But yeah, the young folks is, yeah, we're kind of a cool website for people who like movies and music and books. We kind of have a bit of a demographic take of like, you know, teenagers and young adults, but a bunch of people read our site. We have a pretty cool demographic. We have a lot of awesome people who read our stuff that aren't 29-year-old men who are angry about a Captain America review. But
well, I won't be reading this website.
And, I mean, through doing stuff with that website, I've gotten to meet and talk to, you know, a bunch of my heroes from music criticism, music writing, who actually know who I am and that I exist, which is pretty cool.
It's always a plus.
Yeah.
All right. Well, and that's it.
Thank you. Thanks, Ryan.
Yeah. www.theyoungfolks.com.
And I also write for another website called 45s and 40s, which is run by another former Cigar alumni, Hensley Carrasco. And on there, I do a feature called Alternative to What, in which I review and rank every single number one on the Billboard Alternative Songs chart. This month, I'm going to be doing 1991, which means I get to write about Nirvana and Sinead O'Connor. So that's going to be pretty fun.
Ah. Oh. The classic power duo.
Yep.
Nothing else compares to Smells Like Teen Spirit.
A bit of a fun fact for the 1991 thing. You would think that Smells Like Teen Spirit was number one on the alternative rock chart for weeks and weeks and weeks.
No.
Just 1 week on that chart.
Yeah.
Just one. I mean, there were
It's about what it deserves.
There were songs by like Jesus Jones and Tears for Fears that had long shelf life on this chart in its early years than one of the most iconic songs of the entire genre. So.
Yeah, no, I remember that. That is one of Adam Carolla's valid complaints, is that you tend to remember like the best songs from those eras, and then you don't remember that Right Here, Right Now charted for like 5 weeks from Jesus Jones. Well, Huel, did you have anything else you wanted to say before we signed off here?
Well, just always remember that destroying cities can be habit-forming, but most mayors soon find it's more of a challenge and just as much fun to build cities and make them work.
Oh, that's a nice little capper.
Closing sentiment.
Yeah. Well, here's a little snifferoo, some bleeps and bloops from the games. It's a double episode next week. And here is snifferoos from those games.
Just last night, I was lost in the jungle with Pitfall Harry, surrounded by giant scorpions and man-eating crocodiles.
Well, Harry and I just grabbed the van, swung through the trees, and over the tar pits and found the jungle treasure. It was really neat.
If you haven't met Pitfall Harry, you're missing the year's most incredible video game adventure. Pitfall for the Atari 2600 and Intellivision.
Since I met Pitfall Harry, no other man will do.
Pitfall, designed by David Crane for Activision.
They're wild about it on Tyrannus. Even on Modus, they eat it up. It's Moon Patrol, the new video game cartridge from Atari. Console sold separately and hooked up by an adult. You can bounce over moon craters.
Watch it, man. He's gonna get you.
You can zap flying saucers, but careful.
This is more fun than a battle of Earthlings.
Moon Patrol, the Atari video game cartridge. Versions available for all Atari systems. Console sold separately.